Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have Tammy on the episode talking about few things. So first of all, welcome Tammy. How are you doing today?
Thank you for having me and I am doing fantastic.
Thank you so much for being here. And where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Navarre Beach, Florida.
Yeah, so sunny states.
Yeah, I'm a new transplant. I just moved about a year and a half ago from California. So I'm kind of still a true blue Cali girl, but Navarre Beach, Florida is a beautiful other side of the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you like tired of paying higher taxes?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons. There was a myriad of them, but that was one of them.
It is, you know, weird, right? How, you know, people operate, but there are very few people who can do what you did, right? That is move states, because, you know, the language might be same, but culture is different. You know, people are different.
Definitely. I did something really neat when I moved. I had been living on 20 acres as a single mom. I had a home on the same acreage as with my parents. And so when my mom was going to move, I was going to move also, but I wasn't quite ready to move. I hadn't had that intuitional, like, go and where I'm going to go. So I told everybody, they said, where are you going to go? And I said, you know what? When you see me go, you will know it was on faith, because I'm not going until I just feel it in the heart. So I moved a trailer on my friend's 5 acres and I lived in a trailer until I had that inspirational day, which came last year. So now here I landed in Navarre Beach, Florida.
Yeah. What's your opinion about the flyover states?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
What's your opinion, or what is your thought process about like the flyover states, like the Midwest and the central part of America?
Oh, you know, I love them. I have a son that lives in Montana and, I have one that lives in Missouri. That's probably more of the central, but, and I have a daughter that lives in Missouri. So they're fun, but I'm just really a coast girl. I love the beach. It's kind of my happy place. I love Central too. I think every place has its unique culture and its unique, you know, way about it. So
Yeah, that's for sure. So can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your life journey?
Sure. Yeah. As I mentioned, I moved to California when I was 5 years old and, I was raised in a Christian background, a very strong religious family. And I was kind of raised with the idea that my biggest goal in life was to get married and have children. Because the background of the religion I was raised in really thought women's place is in the home raising children. And however, I did have strong parents who encouraged me to get an education. I got a degree in fashion merchandising, moved out to Southern California, worked for Guess as a fashion merchandiser. And then I embarked into being self-employed when I became a single mom. And I had a home on my parents' 20 acres because I was raising 6 kids as a single mom. So I have 5 boys and 1 daughter. And, I kind of collected my tools to lead me to what I believe is living my Dharma, my life purpose right now. And so, part of that was, of course, living through the hard times, the times that you have to surrender and really grow and evolve, which, you know, divorce will do that to you and becoming a single mom will do that to you. And I went to work for the airlines part-time, working nights, boarding planes to get benefits and to be able to continue traveling. And And then that I had a very traumatic accident. And I'd say that was my real huge turning point in life. It was my 180 degree turn, because that took me from being a passionate gal who loved to rollerblade and surf in the ocean and, you know, hike in the mountains, ski in the snow and snowboard and you name it, I did it. And all of a sudden I found myself living in an electric scooter and couldn't walk more than 10 steps. So really, really took me to my knees.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, if you look at it as a graph, right, it has so many ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my question is, where did you learn the most?
Oh, well, you know, initially, I would say I learned the most about my inner self through the accident, because I had no choice but to go within. Nowhere else to go. But after I went within and started to begin my journey of forgiving others and releasing the trauma from people I thought had wronged me or areas I gave other people power, then I think as I look back, I learned the most about life from the journey backwards. After I went within, I began forgiving everyone. And I started to see life from a different spectacles. So, so then from that perspective, I think I learned a lot from just understanding the difference between how I was raised in religion and understanding what I learned once I began to understand the I am empowerment within, and trying to decode that and figure out how to embrace this new version of me who believed the empowerment was within me, not outside of me, which is what I felt religion had taught me. And then I also learned a lot through divorce and through, you know, just becoming a single mom. I learned that that was my path to find my own empowerment. And so I began to embrace my obstacles and see them more as it was there to serve me versus it was there to hurt me. So.
Got it. So what was your like biggest learning in terms of, you know, when anybody hits a rock bottom, right? What do you think is the first few things that people will learn just because of the scenario that they are in?
You mean in the state of rock bottom? In that state?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, when they're going through that particular, you know, lower graph of their life.
Well, in that state of rock bottom, I think a person has two choices. To look for answers outside of them, which some would turn to drugs, some turn to alcohol, some turn to relationships, some the many things, or turning to going inward and dropping to your knees and trying to find the power within. There's not really another place to go at rock bottom than those two options. So, you know, I had a real traumatic experience when I had my divorce that caused me to kind of look on the external, say, you know, religion will help me. I'll do it right this time. I did it. I blamed myself. This is what I did wrong. I shouldn't have married this person, or I shouldn't have done this in the marriage, or, and I just found all these faults within myself. And then I started to find the answers in religion or in, you know, maybe I'll meet another man and I'll do it perfect this time. And, and then with my accident, I had no choice. I finally got to this surrendered state of no more answers out there. I've been to all the doctors, I've been to all the specialists, they were all giving me the same answer. And it was just at this point of dropping to my knees and saying, take me or heal me. There's something there. There's got to be. Life has to be bigger than this is it. After all I've been through in my life, all I've learned, who I've been, you know, I have this beautiful family. This can't be it. And so it's like, get me out of here if it is, take me, or heal me if it isn't. There's got to be something more powerful. And I kind of call that a heart, you know, moving into the heart, getting into heart cohesion and embracing. Once we give up our free will and we choose to go within and say, I'm ready. I'm ready for finding out who I truly, authentically am. Then the higher power comes in that I am. Some call it God, some call it higher soul, some call it oversoul, some call it the universe. Whatever you call it, it doesn't matter. There is a higher power that will just magically start to bring you information through people, experiences, books, podcasts, whatever way is the most impactful way for you, the answers will come. And if you can just stay in that surrendered state and trust that the answers will come, they will come.
Got it. Why do you think, you know, people give up on, you know, becoming better when they hit, you know, bad times?
Well, I don't think they know another choice. And I also think they're coming from a trauma base. We, you know, heaven and hell is within us. We we have lower chakras below our heart where all of our trauma in blocks are. All the trauma we've absorbed from others, all the trauma we've absorbed in life. And once you can move past your heart and start to get to that gateway of heaven, heaven is it within you. And so I think a lot of people who give up are still reacting from the trauma, and that's all they know. And so they just react too quickly. And they just, instead of figuring out how to let go of the trauma and connect, start to declutter the cord to that higher state of mind. Instead of doing that, they take a loop and they loop back to, you know, to answers of churning to something outside of them.
Do you think seeking positivity in a you know, negative situation also kind of harms them?
Oh, that is such a good question, because, you know, I don't really like the whole woo-woo. You know, I don't think spirituality and this what I talk about with when I talk about energy healing or energy, I don't think it's all just spirituality, like the woo-woo, magical. It's also science-based. And so I think that, you know, I forgot the question now. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah.
I know where I was going.
So my question was, do you think that when people seek positivity in a negative situation, do you think that harms them?
So I don't think positivity can harm you, but where I was going with that, where I was leading, is that I think sometimes we think, oh, I can do a few positive affirmations, or maybe I can just think positive for a few minutes, and you think that's going to change the road. And it really is much deeper than that. It is, you know, it's not harder. It's just deeper. There's a difference. So it's kind of one of those that, yes, the positivity mindset can begin the baby steps towards going into more of a positive state of mind, but just doing it, just you know, here and there for a few positive affirmations. It's always great, but it's not going to change habits that have been formulating for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, or like, if people tapped into their natural instincts when they're in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel it would be better for them instead of, you know, pushing positivity where it doesn't fit?
What? Clarify natural instincts for me. Clarify what you...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more of a gut feeling, right? I mean, people would be in a situation in their life where they have to do something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it might not be something that they like, or, you know, they might be passionate about, but it needs to be done.
Well,
right? Okay. So it's like, you know, you might not like it, but it's your instinct that says, you know, you got to keep doing this, right? And then people give into this fake positivity where they are like, you know, this is not my passion. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that puts them even further into the pit.
If they're not being themselves, if they're not being authentic, yes, they're going to, it won't feel natural. It won't feel like a gut instinct. If they listen to something and they said, okay, you know, I heard that singing is going to help me be positive. So they start singing, but that's not authentically them. Then the singing is going to take them to a lower state, because at some point the mind is going to take over and say, why are you singing? You know, you're a terrible singer. And it'll start this whole trajectory of bringing them further down, and then they will turn to, you know, vices. However, if they can stop and tap into who they were, maybe as a child or as a young adult, before fear started to take over. Fear starts to take over when we start embarking on our own personal journey as an adult, and we don't make it, you know. So if they can tap in to what they always loved, they'll tap into a part of them that they can begin to start acting on their most excitement, because that is your secret. Your secret sauce is, if you can live in every now moment and be in the whatever is your greatest excitement at that time, then you will start to heal. You'll start to find joy. You'll start to connect to it again. So
got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Do you also feel like people have, I would say, more freedom, right, of thinking when they have experienced more difficulties in their life?
I think this is what you mean by that question. So our computers are created off our brains. So a computer has a program in it. And as we have fears, and as we have unaccomplishments, sadness, worries, the body starts to communicate with the brain, and literally the neurons make a network and runs a program for this person. So then their reaction tends to be off of that program, because that's just what happens. The same as you turn on your computer, whatever you programmed your computer to do, it's going to do. Our body works off the programs that we have inserted. Now, however, we have the ability to let those neurons move and shift into a new program. For example, let's say a person has been very unhealthy, gained a lot of weight, hasn't ate well, they have a program in their brain, and they usually wake up in the morning and they run that program. Maybe they grab their phone. Maybe they do something in bed in the morning, or, you know, they don't run to the gym like, you know, John, who's been working out every morning for, you know, the past 10 years. He has a program. I get up, I go to the gym. So this person, if they want to lose weight and they want to get healthy, they have to understand that when they start taking those baby steps and they start going to the gym, or they start going and doing, you know, wall yoga or whatever, wall Pilates, when they start doing changes, what happens literally, if you could take a scan of their brain, is the neurons start to move and find other neurons. And every day that they keep that promise to themselves, they're literally taking out that program of laying in the bed in the morning, and the neurons are starting to create a program that they work out. But you have to get past the mind. So that's the tricky part. And this is why a lot of programs say to do something for 30 days and, you know, don't quit, do it every day for 30 days, because you've just created a new program within 30 days. Your program is starting to set in. And so if they start to, you know, after about 2 or 3 days, their body will start to hurt now because they're doing something new. They're working new muscles. And so they might start, the brain's going to start really trying to trick them. Oh, you've done so good. You should stay in bed this morning. You shouldn't get up and go work out. Why are we doing this? Don't you understand? We don't like doing this, you know, and it'll just start chitter chattering. And it's just really important to quiet the brain down and make sure that the soul starts to become the master of the brain, not let the brain become the master. And once you can accomplish that with one thing and you see that succeed, then you start to get this empowerment, like, wow, okay, I did that. Now I can do something else. What's next? And that's when you start taking over your life and start putting in programs you actually want to run. So
I think there is a saying, right, that says you are the hardest to fool. The hardest thing is not to fool yourself, and you're the easiest to fool. Right,
hardest things to
like fool. People convince themselves of things that they're not.
You know, it's so true. And not only do they do that, but let's say a gal likes a guy and the guy hasn't called her for 3 days. They create storylines. They don't even know why he hasn't called. You know, who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's in the hospital. Maybe he got sick. But they start to create self-doubt storylines. Oh, he don't like me. Oh, my goodness, this and that. And, oh, you know, the last boyfriend thought this, and I'll bet he's thinking that. And they just, they start to create this storyline. Our brains are way too active on us, and we really got to just start to slow them down. And we're a human being, not a human doing. We got to just be for a little bit and just allow the time to just be there. And then finally he might call and he might say, hey, I got caught up. And you created that whole, all that fear and doubt for nothing. And you literally have sent all those messages out to the universe saying, guys don't like me, this happens or that happens.
Because I read somewhere that a typical healthy brain thinks about 70,000 thoughts a day.
I believe
So the trick is to slow it down so that it puts more energy towards making those decisions. Meaning, you know, you need to bring it down from 70,000 to probably 50,000, right? Or, you know, lesser than 70,000.
Definitely.
So that it puts the spare energy more into, you know, giving you the clarity of mind, right?
You know, one interesting exercise I heard was someone, I think it was RGJ Spina, he wrote a book on, he writes a lot about the mind. He took a journal and he did it for like a few weeks. Everywhere he went, he started being very the watcher of his thoughts, very conscious of his thoughts. If he'd walk in a bathroom, he'd look in the mirror. He'd ask himself, why am I doing this? He'd brush his hair. Why am I brushing my hair? Am I doing it because it's just what I do every day when I walk in the bathroom? Or, so he started to really watch his thoughts and his doing and how he thought about himself and how he thought about others. And it's very eye-opening to start to become very conscious of your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, it helps you to heal because you start realizing how many thoughts you have about yourself or about other mm-hmm. people. You start to really understand yourself better, and you can start catching the negative thoughts towards yourself or others. And then you could mm-hmm. start also realizing where your positive thoughts are. And
I feel like that happens, because that has happened with me also. I was reading this book called as Think Like a Psychologist by mm-hmm. Patrick King.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks a lot about, conversation being a game and how it's like social points. Right. And when I read that, and whenever I used to talk to somebody in a very general setting, right, my brain by default would switch into analysis mode, right, where I spoke less, because that's what, that particular book says, that you have got to score lesser points in a social setting and let other people score more, meaning, talk more so that they feel they're inclined to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I just felt like being an observer of my own brain, right, where you're just observing your brain's making decisions. And for example, if they said, what do you think about, X and X, right, or so. And I would sit back and just watch my brain, jump through these hoops, right?
Right.
To build a particular narrative or a message.
Isn't it? That's great. I love that. It's so enlightening to start slowing it down and just mm-hmm. really watching those thoughts and then kind of questioning why you're having those thoughts. Are those really my thoughts? Was I raised with those thoughts? Were those my parents' thoughts, or were those my community's thoughts or my friends' thoughts? And you really start to know yourself better. It's very true. And I love psychology. I love understanding why we do what we do and why we think the mm-hmm. way we think. And I think that I love the analogy of it's very enlightening to start to see life more as a game mm-hmm. than so serious, because we take it so serious. And when you start to just like lighten up and have some fun with it, it's just always mm-hmm. about balance. If you do something wrong, don't be so hard on yourself. You can always rework it. This is how powerful the brain is. You can rework mm-hmm. even a conversation you've had at night. So in other words, if you had a conversation, you didn't like what you said to someone, you can go mm-hmm. to bed at night and you can actually redo that conversation energetically, and you'd be so surprised. Next time you see that person, they won't remember the conversation. If you were able to get into the feeling of the senses when you did that redo at night, you would have just collapsed time, and it won't be remembered anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing was thinking that, is this conversation even necessary? Right. Mm-hmm. And less worse was thinking, was it necessary of what I just said about something, right? Like, for example, I said, I don't like a particular fruit, right? But my brain would go into, those thoughts of why I don't like it. And I'm like, is this really necessary?
If you want to sit and just chit chat about fruit with someone, then I guess it's fun. But is it necessary? There's very little conversation that's really necessary, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, because every person has just finite energy and mm-hmm. time. So, gossip is fun for some time, right? And after some time, it starts to take its toll, right? Because gossip tends to bring out the worst in people when they talk about something or someone.
When I started understanding the power of the brain and the impressions that our brain is a receptor and everything we think and say is literally sending out brain signals like electricity out into the universe. And I started to understand the power behind those words. That was one of the number one things I was real big in. I didn't see it as gossip. I saw it as I cared about these people. And so I'm talking about their problems with a friend or with a family member because I care so much, you know. But then once I woke up and understood how powerful that conversation, when you start getting two brains together talking about it, I started just saying to people, I don't do that anymore. I literally started walking away from gossip because you got to be real careful. You know, our words are create, our thoughts create, and we can create experiences to happen to other people. If we're starting to create this storyline around it and gossiping about something we really don't know about, only the person living it really knows.
It's a very, you know, I would say very, very much used Facebook post that says, if words are not powerful, then there will be no cuss words.
That could be true.
Right.
When you really want to give it some oomph. Huh?
Yeah. How much do you believe in this manifestation and, you know, these things that people say? Like, you need to manifest what you need to be or, you know, all these sort of things.
Well, I believe we are a balance of understanding the spiritual mystic side of us and the scientific side of us. So I'm not all about the woo-woo. I'm not all about, oh, just start manifesting, just start thinking this, because you have to match the heart coherence, your heart's desire, with what you are desiring to create. So this will be a fun place to go. One of my favorite lecturers is Neville Goddard. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he would go all over the world and lecture. And he talks about the feeling. The feeling is the secret is one of his really strong lectures. That the base of his message is getting what you desire to create and experience in this life. And if you can get to the end result and feel it in your five senses, then there's no choice but for that to be delivered to you. Because once you get into the five senses, you've just had heart coherence. You've had communication with the body. The subconscious mind don't know the difference between actually living it or the body imagining it. And he likens the imagination to God. He says the imagination is the creative God source that we call God. And so he likens the mind, the left brain, to our thinking mind, to the masculine energy, and our subconscious brain to the feminine energy. And so the subconscious doesn't know the difference if you're living it or not living it. So if it gets an impression, it has to create it. So if your mind, if you could think it and get that thought into the body and the feeling, because these three work together, the subconscious mind, the thinking mind, and the body, they work together. So if you can get all three of those creating together, then I believe in manifestation, if that's what we're calling manifestation. But there's a lot of other... you know, there's just a lot of posts on social media about manifestation and thinking you can just, you know, oh, I'm just going to think I want this and then it will happen. There's science behind that. Just the same as when you charge a battery in a car, you need both the negative and the positive polarity to create that charge. Our body is energy, and it needs the same. It needs the negative and the positive. And this is everywhere. You can see this in nature. You see this in the sun and the moon. The sun is comparable to the masculine energy. The moon is the feminine energy. It delivers the impression. It's kind of behind the scenes. And so, yeah, so I do believe in manifestation, but I go real deeper than that.
Got it. Because here is my, you know, take on it, right?
Yeah.
If you want something, right, you plan for it, you put in the work and just see what happens. Right?
Yeah.
Because life doesn't come with any guarantees. And I feel like people who are very positive and they're like, you know, if I manifest, it should happen. They go through their emotions when it doesn't happen. Because they do not know how to react in terms of, they were like, it's a sure shot, it will happen.
Right.
But, you know,
well,
life isn't fair.
You know, let's put it this way. Back to our going and working out. If I wanted to get my body fit, okay, I can't just sit around and manifest that my body get fit. It's not going to happen. We need your analogy. We need a to-do list. We need to get some action behind it, right? So, you know, this is, but if the mind can create a to-do list, just that to-do list won't work either. Your heart has to be in it, because otherwise you'll give up. It's got to take teamwork. You need both. You need the heart and you need the action. So I liken the manifestation more to the subconscious mind, which I also believe is our soul, our heart. So I think if you, it's like a teamwork. And I actually believe this is what the Bible was talking about. When the Bible talks about, you know, the woman is the slave to the man or something. I can't remember exactly how it's worded. It's more that the female energy, not a woman per se, the feminine energy is the creator. That's why she carries the baby. That's why she has the womb. The male energy is the one who puts the impression on. So if you take that all within you, you have both masculine and feminine energy in you. If the mind is putting the impression and saying, go to the gym, go get fit, it's the feminine energy that needs to put it to put the impression out there. And that is what some people are calling manifestation. But it's crazy to think you can just sit around in the, you know, in a Indian style and manifest something. You've got to put action to it. So,
okay. So to be counterintuitive to your point, do you think that putting your heart is a luxury that can be afforded by only few people?
That doing what? Putting.
Like you said, if we have to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not only planning from the brain, but your heart also has to be there.
Right.
Right. Do you think that's a luxury afforded by only few people? Because
go ahead.
In real world, you know, I mean, in, you know, when people are facing shitty situations, they do not have that luxury of choosing what to do. And they just have to do it. You know, they just have to get it done.
Yeah, that's a deep, deep question. I like it. I think we all have the empowerment within us to get to our heart's energy. However, I think, like, now I'll bring in my accident. I'm laying in bed. I'm now reading, you know, barely able to do anything. My whole life has done a 180, you know. The only time I get out is to go to doctor's appointments. I call that a shitty situation I'm in, you know. So coming from, it's like, what do? Doctors gave me, you can amputate the leg or you can live with the pain. You know, they gave me a third option. You know, you go to another country and they can reset your brain and you may not remember who you are. And I didn't like any of the options. And so here I am on all this medication because the pain was extremely high. And so from that place, what do you do? How do you reach in and grab your empowerment is kind of how I hear that question. You know, everybody has their own shitty place they're in. How do you do that? And that I would say is that everybody can go within. Everybody can. They even a person in the worst jail cell can sit down and just sit there and quiet the mind down, quiet the thinking, quiet the hamster wheel. Go do this, go do that, and just drop into the heart. 15 minutes at first. 15 minutes will do wonders. And it's in that stillness that you start to clear up all the clutter in that cord to a higher power where ideas the brain can't think about. The brain only remembers ideas you've done in the past. It doesn't have the ability to think of something you've never done before. That has to come from the subconscious mind. That is where 90% of our memories are stored. Those who believe in past lives believe that's where that memory is stored. You know, those who've become masterful musicians at a very young age, they've tapped into that right brain, that subconscious mind. So you're trying through that quiet, still moment, you're trying to tap in to some higher power. So for me, when I tapped into that higher power and said, take me or heal me, two things happened that I give credit. Nothing I did. It's nothing my brain could have thought up. I didn't even know about these two things. But within a very short time, my son and his wife had went hiking in the Dolomites in Italy, and they took a drone and they created like a 45-minute YouTube video and just sent it to me. And then the second thing that happened is I had an old friend that I hadn't spoke to since my accident call me out of the blue. Hey, I've just been thinking about you. I thought I'd give you a call, see how you're doing. And when she did, I told her about my accident, and she said, you know, my aunt just barely cured cancer through energy healing. Have you ever thought of trying energy healing? I'm like, hell no, bring it. I'll try anything right now. You know, give me her name and number. And so what I started doing accidentally, because I didn't know at the time until later, and I unwound how this happened, I started watching that video my son sent me, and I started imagining myself out there hiking the Dolomites. And I got very entranced by it, and I kept watching it. I'd tap into it, became my happy time. So I'm accidentally visualizing, using visualization. And then I reached out to this therapist, and I started doing energy healing. I did those two things simultaneously, pretty much. 3 months later, healed, 100% healed. 3 months later, I'm hiking. I lived out on 20 acres. I'm hiking in this neighborhood of Acreage, and I am so elated to be out walking again and hiking again that I'm doing it 3-4 times a day. And then my sons and I decided to go to Italy my son lived in Italy. So we decided to go see him in June, and we went and had this nice little vacation. And then my son, the one who he lived in Germany at the time, he left and he went back home to Germany. And I was leaving in a couple of nights, my flight. When I went to check in for my flight, I went to check in, it wouldn't work. I went to my son, I said, hey, I can't check in for my flight. Something's wrong. Will you help me? You know, he's the tech guru. And turned out the entire airline canceled all their flights. My flight from Paris to San Francisco at the time, it's completely canceled. No other flight. Well, I bought these tickets way in advance. So to buy a last minute ticket was very expensive. So this gave me the thought, you know, I'm enjoying myself out here. Everybody's going back to work. The family little get-together's over. I'm just gonna chill here for a few weeks and buy a cheaper ticket and just stay out here a little longer. So then me staying a couple more weeks gives my son an idea, because this was the very son who sent me the video. He took a few days off work, surprised me, brought home tickets to go hike the Dolomites. So within 8 months of me being in an electric scooter and couldn't walk more than 10 steps, I am out hiking the very Dolomites that I visualized myself hiking. So In answer to your question with telling that story, my message, that's like the base of my message, is every human being has that power in them. No matter what their state is, they can sit and go within and start to declutter that communication with a higher power. And when that cord declutters, you got to stick with it. You can't just say one day, oh my gosh, that was terrible. I didn't get anything. No, you just got to keep doing it. You just keep doing it. And pretty soon what happens is there is an energy where there's this telepathic communication that happens, where my son just automatically thinks, I'm gonna go ahead and use my drone. I'm gonna videotape this. Mom will love it. And my friend says, wow, I haven't talked to Tammy in a long time. I wonder how she's doing. Well, there is a higher power that knows her aunt just healed of cancer, and that these two actions were gonna be my recipe to my healing. And everybody's is different. Everybody's recipe is different. But I can guarantee, if a person will just drop in and go into a higher, you know, into just go within, they can tap in to that soul path that they have for themselves and allow that gestation period, that time for that, those little miracles to start to happen and start to just drop into their external world.
Got it. Because you mentioned energy healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was more of a placebo?
Ooh, I like that question.
Right, because there has not been an accredited study that says it works. Right.
Put it this way, I think everybody has their own placebo. Yeah. So yeah, in some ways, I do think it's a placebo. But I also will say that there is so much to be said. What energy healing is, if you really just want to simplify it, energy healing is forgiveness. It's forgiving yourself for past mistakes that you feel you made. And it's forgiving others for wrongs they did to you, that you held against them. Because that's what trapped energy is. Trapped energy is anger. The same as, I'll tell you this, the same as if you made me angry right now, I could get a physical stomach ache from that anger, from that emotion. That's an energy that's going in my body. My body's absorbing that energy. So I can energetically just release that anger and say, you know, I don't want to be angry. Why do I want to be angry to GD? I don't want to be angry. He didn't mean that. I'm just going to release that. And then I can get rid of that. What dis-ease, our body's not at ease. You can get rid of it. And in that you can heal.
Okay. So do you think I'm being in a pretty negative here?
No.
Do you think that energy healing is more of just psychological manipulation of a human brain than actual science?
I think
because you're just tricking your brain into thinking that this has to work, and this has to work in a certain way.
That's just going back to, you know, the argument of science or you know, is it science or spirituality? You know, which one? You know, it's all a balance. It's a, to me, it's a balance. It's not one or the other. Is it tricking the brain No, but is the brain involved? Sure. So in some ways,
okay.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
So I'm very sorry to interrupt you. You see, if it's my opinion, it's an opinion of one person, of course. It's like psychological, diseases or cures, right, are studied in mass, right? Like, psychologists do study and then they publish a paper saying, okay, this is how it, something works, right? And they do agree that it's more or less just manipulation of brain, because brain is rather pretty stupid. As I said, it's easy to fool. But when it comes to energy healing, right, I don't think that there has been any study that proves like it's not tricking the brain, right? It's not like, an alternative way of psychology, right? Because you're just working on emotions, and emotions do stem from brain, right?
I think both things you're saying are correct. So in some ways you are tricking the brain. Isn't that whole thing I said about sitting down and going within and quieting the brain? Aren't we tricking the brain? I mean, one of the things I teach my clients.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, because tricking my brain into thinking something else and asking my brain to slow down are two different things, I feel like. It's like a difference between meditation and, like trance or, mass manipulation that people do in marketing, right? That's just manipulation of brain. But when you meditate, you're just asking your body and brain to, slow down and ease. So you're not tricking your brain into thinking something else, but rather you're just asking it to slow down.
So yes, but so I'm going to just, for sake of the conversation, we have brain waves, we have frequencies. So when you meditate, you are shifting into a brain wave that you are moving into the right brain and out of the left brain. So the thinking brain that I think you're talking about tricking, because that's the one we want to trick, because it's the one that wants to think of all the solutions. It's in that brainwave is when we are right now, we are in that brainwave when we are doing action. But when we sleep, we're in a particular brainwave. When we are hypnotized, we're in a particular brainwave. When we meditate, we're in a particular brainwave. So you are moving in to a frequency where it's almost like you're changing the channel into a frequency where now you have shifted in to a different part of the brain. We don't just have one brain.
Yeah, but that's not manipulation, right? Whereas I feel like, and it's my, it's my personal opinion, that these, I don't want to call out people, but, energy healing and Reiki and all these things, I feel like it's just manipulation of brain, because you are guiding somebody else's thought process in a different way to make them believe of something that doesn't exist. That's what marketing also does. That's why marketing works, because marketing is active manipulation of people's thought process.
Well,
Okay.
don't know. What's that?
Because you're thinking, right? Let me just give an example.
Uh-huh. Oh, please do.
Do we actually need a refrigerator in the house? No, to be honest, right? If we plan our food better, we don't need refrigerators, right? But marketing convinced us that it is necessary, right? A necessary appliance that you require in your house. And today, a child, who is just born also knows that refrigeration is like part of survival, right? And that's just mass manipulation of people from a particular industry for years, right? Now, when people talk about energies, and I'm not saying it's a truth or lie, because I do not know, right? Mm-hmm. I am not
evolved enough to understand those. Oh, yeah, I love it.
So I'm not evolved enough to understand that. But my point of view is, because I'm a marketer, right? So mm-hmm. I understand, you know, people manipulate people all the time.
Right.
Right. That's how snake oil salesmen were born, right? Out of manipulating people. Now, if energy cannot be proven in a study, right, like which can be conducted on Mars, my question is like, then is it really a healing process, or is it just, you know, manipulation, like placebo, just convincing someone of something that doesn't exist?
Well, I would answer that there are thousands of people who have been healed through energy healing. Thousands. There's testimonials out there everywhere. So
yeah, but it's not a study, right?
Now, what's that?
It's not a study, right? Like, testimonial is different from an actual scientific study.
Dr. Joe Dispenza has a huge study out. He's even got scans of the brain, what happens when they're doing it. However, let me just say this. This is why I said the visualization has to come with it, because in some ways, I hear your point, and I actually agree with your point in some ways. Everyone has their own vehicle to healing. So for someone who, like for me, I'd already been to all the doctors. So the doctors, you'd say, is the science and the studies and everything. Well, they were coming at it from a scientifical, you know, studied point of view. You're not going to heal. You're just going to be in this wheelchair. There's no hope. So for me, it'd be very hard to convince someone like me, even though there's no study out there for me. Whoever was in my circle at that time and saw me go from a wheelchair to out hiking, they're like, that happened. And even me, I didn't know what happened. I'm like, how did this happen? So I started reading. Matter of fact, We Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza is one of my books, one of the first books I read, understanding that we have the placebo inside of us. We have that ability. Once we start to understand that we can communicate to our body, our thoughts, our brain is connected to our body. And so our thoughts are connected to those cells. We tell our body. It's because we tell our body, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that. We can actually end up being sick because we worry about being sick, or we can end up being healed because we think about, because we're starting to feel healed. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. I think I got your point, right? Let me ask you this. You know, I think you're aware, like there are placebo medicines that exist. Like mm-hmm. it's just like multivitamins, but doctors prescribe it to a person who feels they're having something when nothing exists, right?
Right.
Now, those medicines popularly work every time because then a person thinks they are getting healed by this particular medication, right? And if all of this energy healing and all this stuff ends up being a placebo, right? Then why don't we just, you know, go into a hypnotic state and let a person just manipulate our brain freely? Why do we have to insist that these are medical, you know, alternatives, right? Because it's very clear that there has been no study in terms of mass application, right? You know, because all energy healing is different from person to person, right?
Because it's a faith-based, mm-hmm. it's backed with placebo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's there is no set methodology that works on a group of people, right? Because okay, to give a better example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if 10 people had fever, right, and you gave them fever medicine, right, eight out of 10 people would heal from that particular disease from the same medication.
Correct, because there's right. a collective of believing that. Yes, it's ingrained in us to believe that will.
Mm-hmm. Right, but if 10 people going through a disease, were given the same energy healing, right, it would not work, right? Because it's not,
Well, it might work on some of them, but it wouldn't work on all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It would not work as efficient as the medicine.
True, because we are kind of mind controlled in a way to believe in the medicine more than we are to believe that we can self heal.
No, but also the fact that medicine also works.
It's true. But you could give an argument for both. You could say it works.
I don't think so. because medicine, you know, you can prove medicine on any particular standard that you want, right? For example, you know, drugs go through animal testing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can energy healing also go through animal testing? I don't think so. Because animals don't have the capability of thinking like us, right? They're right. Just not evolved. So mm-hmm. It would not work. You know, so I feel like medicine works because it works, you know, because it's coming from a place where it's cellular level of, you know, healing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas energy healing, I'm not saying energy healing doesn't work, but what I'm saying is it's more or less just a trick. It's like a magician's trick, right? Where, you know, card changes or whatever, you know, any magician's trick.
I think I would wrap it up this way. I agree with you on some points, but I think some people who find themselves sick and medicine isn't working, okay? That program of medicine or whatever, even if it's the medicine in, you know, the ingredients in the medicine, it's not working. We can be sick because of our trauma. We can be sick because of our anger, because we're sad, because we're heartbroken, because we're frustrated, because life just sucks. And we can make ourselves so sick. And then we just lay in bed and we don't get up and we are depressed. So for that person, energy healing is going to work because it is a form of counseling and psychology. It's, well, at least the kind I do, but I
mean, exactly.
I don't do Reiki, but anyway, I mean.
That's exactly my point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an alternative way of psychology. But, you know, people who do that as a profession never agree to it. They're like, no, this is a proper channel of medicine.
Well,
and I feel like that's kind of misguiding people, right? It's giving false hope, because then it's like, okay, you know, like I don't want to take. I've seen this, you know, in real life where people like, you know what, that person said so I'll not take medicines.
I don't think people should discount medicines or, you know, yeah. I think, you know,
that's what I think I'm trying to portray to my audience or anybody who's listening to this, that, you know, like all these alternative ways are not medicine, right? They might help you in the journey, but they are not the particular way or transport that you would take, you know, when you want to heal yourself.
Well, like, you know, my mom, she had cancer and I was an energy healer. Okay. And she needed surgery. I would never tell her, oh, just go do energy healing. You don't go do surgery. Don't go mind. Yeah. No. But if she can, while she's having that surgery, if she can start to up her frequency and
mm-hmm.
release trauma,
mm-hmm.
she didn't have to have, that's what I worked on with her. She didn't need to call 10 people and hear what those 10 people talked to 10 people and all their experiences they had with cancer. You could collect so much data that you have mm-hmm. yourself sick. No, just go follow the doctor's advice, but start to change those mm-hmm. programs in your brain. Start to change if you are worried or in these lower emotions, start to change mm-hmm. the frequency in your body and start to shift that. During mm-hmm. this time, she didn't need chemo. She didn't need anything else. Once she had that, she started to heal. So when she goes back to these doctors, she'll say, you know, you helped me heal, but so did my daughter. So, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of a good example of kind of working both together. So I would never, ever encourage people to just say, oh, let's just do energy healing. I'm not going to take my medicine. I'm not going to do this. Now, I did get off all my pain medicines, and I was on a myriad of medicines. I was on so much medication. Mm-hmm. But it was because I started to change within, and I started to feel, I don't think I need that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always come back to balance. I always do. I think you can also sit and have an argument about, you know, you get atheists and Christians. Well, you know, what about these miracles? These miracles have happened. You know, you can't explain them. Yeah. Science can't explain it. So it's always balancing the two. And quantum physics is starting to catch up with understanding that. Quantum physics is starting to really catch up to that balance.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because atheists are not from Earth, I feel like. They live in, they are very similar to flat earthers, right? Because they want, they take evidence-based science to a next level, right? And, you know, one of the most interesting points that atheists put up is, you know, science keep proving itself wrong, right? Like, you know, we said something, but it turned out to be something else, right? But their, you know, typical argument is religion, you know, doesn't prove itself wrong again and again, right?
Say that again, religion what?
Yeah, like science proves itself wrong over and over again over the time, right? Because science is evolving.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But they say religion is not evolving because it cannot prove itself wrong.
Well, I would say that's because...
So,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like it's like looking at a 30-year-old person's brain and thinking, why is this brain not growing? And looking at a 10-year-old and saying, this brain is growing. So it's like, it's probably evolved science is what I feel like when it comes to religion. Of course, people have fucked up every religion known to man.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. There's a whole argument. You know,
they have given their own, you know, opinion that was not needed and fucked up an entire religion. That happens, right? Mm-hmm. But the religion by core itself, right, is different. So yeah, I feel that's a whole different conversation, as you said. But yeah, coming back to energy healing, right? I feel like if medications are not working, and if your physicist is not able to, you know, gauge that, okay, for this particular person, you know, medication is not working, maybe we went through the placebo way. I feel like that's a failure at a medical level. Because, you know, even in Western medicine, you know, fake medicines do exist. Fake treatments also do exist.
I'm gonna give you a metaphor here to show my a little bit of disagreement with that. And that is, if you take a river, the river's just, it's flowing. It's got no rocks, no twigs, no nothing. It's flowing. And then you have a bunch of kids. You got 30 kids and they all come bring a rock, a big rock, and they throw it in the river. Okay. As that water tries to keep flowing, it's going to start getting trapped under the rocks, on the sides of the rocks. It's going to have to maneuver around. You come back 10, 15, 20 years later, those rocks still there. And somebody decides, I'm going to clear out those rocks because I like that river flowing. Okay. So they clear out the rocks. When you pick up those rocks, they're going to have moss and gunk and all kinds of stuff underneath them because the water's gotten trapped under them and on the sides of them as it's tried to keep flowing. Okay. Those rocks in this metaphor are energy blocks. It's that when you get angry, you get that stomach ache. It's that energy that blocks. Our bodies are over 70% water. We are vessels. So as the energy and water is moving in our body and we have energy blocks in them, then that water is trying to go through our chakras, our wheels in the body, our the channels, and it's blocking around that energy, causing that moss and gunk, which we call dis-ease. Our body is not at ease. the water is not flowing well. This is why we feel lethargic. This is why we don't want to get up in the morning. This is why we get, we're not a person who has high energy is usually very active and moving and excited about life. And it's, you can tell a total difference. So when you start to release some of that, let the baggage go, then you start to feel this flow again in life, and you start to feel a little bit of excitement for life again, and you start to do things you weren't doing before. And maybe I'll just get up and cook something today instead of lay in bed and watch TV. Maybe I'll go do something I'm passionate about. Maybe I'll go paint a picture. You start to move in this direction of being more passionate about life, because you don't have those blocks anymore there. So that's the metaphor that I'd give to it. And I would say that someone who, like myself, who couldn't heal from doctors and medicine, they are sick because of all the weight they've been carrying for years and years and years, everything they've just stuffed down. I don't want to feel the anger. I don't want to feel the frustration. I don't want the heartache. I'm just going to stuff it down and quit feeling it. So letting it go ends up healing them. And so, yes, it becomes their placebo.
Got it. Okay. Whenever this conversation comes up of emotions and, anything that's internal, right? People tend to say, it's for the weak people. So what's your take on it when people say, because of course there are strong people and there are weaker people. And I feel like if we say that, it's not true, then, we're not talking about reality. But what's your opinion on, let's say, when people say, it's just for weaker people?
I actually like that question, because in a way it's actually kind of true. And now I'm labeling myself as I was a weak person, because I think
the irony,
I think people who shove their emotions down and don't feel their emotions, they go through life being what everybody else wants them to be. And so they don't fill their own cup. What you would call in this analogy a strong person is somebody who keeps real good boundaries and says, mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to do that today. I go work out, or I go do this. And they keep their boundaries and they keep filling their cup and serving themselves. And someone who is, which I think a stronger amount of women do energy healing. They're someone who gives to children, gives to their family, they're always giving to others of their energy, and they're never filling their own cup, which means they have to be shoving those emotions down. So I'm not wild about the word weak. I would just call that someone who has not set real good boundaries and mm-hmm. practiced filling their own cup or staying in their passionate state of who they are.
So would you call those people emotionally unfit? Like they're not fit in terms of physical health or in mental health?
Well, I would say that they definitely, emotions are driving them. Mm-hmm. Lower trapped emotions are driving them, yes, and creating their programs and how they're acting. So therefore, they just don't do anything. So whether we'd call that emotionally unfit, they're still fit. They still mm-hmm. can give love. They still can find ways to be a good human being. But maybe they're emotionally unfit for themselves. I think they don't give to themselves,
Got it. So... okay, what's your reaction when people attribute their bad behavior to trauma?
What's my reaction, did you say?
Yeah, what's your kind of thought process when people attribute, their bad behaviors, right, mm-hmm. as trauma? Because in this generation, we have so much of that. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to something and something because of this particular thing. It's not my fault.
Right. I think that we all at some point are acting from our trauma. I don't think that otherwise you'd just be a perfect person. We all are going to have some kind of trauma that causes us to react to situations. It's different for everybody. I mean, when someone yells at me, I don't get angry, but I have friends or acquaintances. I know people who get triggered. Someone yells at them and bam, you trigger something. So they're acting from a trauma-based reaction at that point. So, you know, whether they were just a kid and always got yelled at, or whether they, you know, had a teacher who, you know, so they had people who overpowered them, and they feel they have to rise up to show how powerful they are. And I'm going to fight that. Whereas myself, I don't feel that need. However, I have other areas that I act from my trauma. So, you know, as far as my thought process on them doing that, again, this is moving to the mind now. So say you have a kid and his teachers are always overpowering him, because we have those kids who don't fit in the box, who can't sit at school. They're you know, maybe a troubled kid. And so the teachers are always yelling at them, and they don't feel an empowerment around authority figures. Their mind has created a program that runs in their brain that when they get around authority figures and those authority figures start to trigger them, they're going to act from that program. And that's the communication between the brain and the body. And so they'll
be... Sorry to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. In that particular example that you just gave, mm-hmm. it would also be more natural because people do have problem with authority, whether they have trauma or not, right? But my original question rather was, you know, people say I am asshole, you know, to the society, or I'm a menace to the society because of my trauma. Like, you know, like I don't respect people because of my trauma. You know, it's like people are labeling their attributing their bad behavior to trauma, saying so and so happened with me, so this is my trauma.
It's back to what I said earlier. You can only know what's in you. You can't, just because you are reacting because of your trauma doesn't mean another person is reacting because of their trauma. They might be reacting because that's just who they want to be. They're authentically being themselves, you know? So wouldn't it be a perfect world if we all just worried about ourselves? You know, think about it. If we all just worried about our own little, you know, that our own little energy bubble. Have you ever seen those little balls? You know, you have those balls and the people can roll around and bump into each other. If we all had just realized we have our own little energy bubble around us, and just worry about yourself, quit worrying about someone else. Every time you think something about someone else, point the finger back at you and mm-hmm. what's wrong with you? Why do you care? Why are you reacting because how that person acts? It has nothing to do with you. You know, so that there is definitely a problem. You know, if you're driving mm-hmm. down the highway and you see, you know, 10 people standing and having a fight, are you going to pull the car off and go join because it triggered you? You know, walk away. Just mind your own business. Yeah. Worry about
Someone might if they had a bad day at the work.
There are people who look for that. Yeah, I agree. There are people who would. I was really being kind of serious when I said that, you know. But should they? No, just keep rolling along and go do what you love to do, you know. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. And Tammy, if people want to, you know, get in touch with you, right? Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Well, there's a few ways. One is I have a website, tammy-brunson.com, mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. my social media is linked on there. But all my social media on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, I call it Cracks in the Illusion, because mm-hmm. I do believe we live in an illusionary world, that we aren't self-empowered. So it's starting to crack through that illusion that we actually can be in charge of our own energy bubble. And so, you know, that's a way they can, and they can get in touch with me with just simple questions. I have a free 20-minute discovery call. Everybody requires a different way of help. I offer a myriad of help. It's not just energy healing. I help with changing those programs in the brain. And I also help with just boot camps to get your energy back up and get doing something you just really feel passionate about doing. So,
got it. And Tammy, why should people have life coaches?
I think a person would reach out to a life coach because they really want to make a transformation. They want to transform from one reality to another. They want to, I call it jumping a timeline. You want to evolve a little quicker into a timeline. You know, we loop in our problems in life year after year after year. If you just want to quit looping, quit making the same decisions, whether it's that you just keep dating someone who is a jerk to you because you don't have self-love, or whether it's because you, you know, you just keep overeating because you're just, you know, you that's the way you solve your problems at night, or whatever it is. You can really truly start to shift, allow those neurons to create a different network for you, a different program. And a life coach can help assist you with tools on a daily basis that will help guide you. Now, they can also, if you're a very self-motivated person, a lot of that stuff, I drop videos on my social media. You can just go watch some videos and you can learn some of those tools just simply through finding a few gurus that you resonate with and start grabbing onto those tools. I'm here to talk to the wall. I mean, whoever wants to listen, whoever's out there saying, you know, that's me, I want to transform, give a call, do the free 20-minute call. You know, I'm not going to talk you into anything. I only want to work with somebody who really has the faith in it and wants to work in it, you know? So I'll point you the right direction. And that may just be just listening to a few YouTube videos or a few little tips. But if it's more than that, then I'll be honest about that too.
Got it. Thank you so much for that clarification. And thank you so much for being here and taking your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here once again.
I like the tough questions. Bring it.
Thank you.
It was good.
Yeah, because I feel like it's my duty to present the negative side of it.
Right? I like it.
Yeah, in other terms, it's my work to poke the bear and see what happens.
You know, and I really respect that. I really do. And I congratulate you for doing that, because you're asking the questions that some could be listening and thinking. And if they don't get an opportunity to hear both sides, and that's why I stayed kind of firm on my side, because I have my experience, you have your experience. Yes. And as a whole of humanity, we make one big puzzle and we all have our own little puzzle pieces. Not every person is going to find the answers to their puzzle piece through me. They might need your more logical point of view. And I love that you know, push and pull.
Thank you so much for that compliment. Anyways, guys, to my audience, this is the end of the episode. If you have enjoyed it, just let us know. I don't know how, maybe send a pigeon with the letter. And all of Tammy's social media and website link will be in the description. So just go there and see what she has to offer. And if you liked what you heard today, maybe just go and, you know, take a free session with her. And until next episode, thank you and take care.